With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Kerry Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro. That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and in the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Inside the Studio on iHeartRadio. My name's Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. My guests today are a band that hails from the great state of Tennessee. Since 2016, they've released a trio of EPs packed with standouts like Daphne Blue and See Through. Now they're gearing up to release their self-titled LP, due out September 10th. They teased their first full length with a string of singles, including Roses, Sorry Mom, One Last Cigarette, and most recently, Know It All, a refreshingly unbitter send-off to a former flame. After a year stuck inside like the rest of us, they're gearing up to hit the road this fall, playing a series of stadiums with the country duo Dan and Shay, and a stint at Bonnaroo in their home state. I'm so happy to welcome Jeffrey Jordan, Spencer Stewart, and Harrison Burgess, who together are known as the Band Camino.
Oh, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, of course.
So you just released your new song, Know It All, a send-off to a former flame, a relationship that didn't work out. Tell me about that track. What's the genesis of that song?
So we were on a writing retreat in Florida, and we were sitting looking at the beach and talking about the concept of the song. It's like you, obviously, like you said, there's an old flame, and you see her out, and it's not necessarily like you want her back. It's just, you know, you kind of are reminiscing on the stories and all the things that, you know, that you know that she hasn't told him, you know, maybe because it's not the most appropriate thing to share with your current flame.
And that comfort level you guys had.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And I think getting older too, you just think about, like, I don't know, your exes and getting older, and you're like, man, like, yeah, they have a new thing and a wife, or like, I don't know, having like an ex-girlfriend, like get married or have kids and stuff like that. And
it's,
you're like,
trippy.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I know that they're probably way closer to that person than they are to me, obviously, because they're with them. But there's still things that, like, she's definitely never told him, kind of thing.
Yeah. And it says in the song, too, honestly, I hope you're happy. I hope you're doing well. But it's like, you know, we've still got some information in between us that, you know, you probably won't share.
And we shared a time in our life, too, that's like only
an intimate. It's really specific intimacy.
So it's like, no matter how far they go, you know, you always have a certain connection with them in the back of both of your minds.
I'll say, this is like one of the healthiest breakup songs I think I've ever heard in my life.
it's
love to hear that.
I'm glad you see it that way.
Wait, so you mentioned a writer's retreat. That sounds awesome. Tell me more about that. What was just that day like, or that weekend, or whatever it was?
Destin. We were in Destin, Florida. So
yeah, we rented a beach house and went down with our producer and
a couple other
writers.
Yeah, like a couple frequent collaborators.
Yeah, that we this guy Seth Innes that we write a ton with. Like, he was like one of the Jordan, our producer, and Seth Innes, this other writer, who's like one of our best friends now, are like the first people we ever wrote with. When we moved to Nashville and we were like, we should try co-writing, our manager was like, yeah, you should write with my friends. And so our first ever co-write that we like wrote with anybody and like collaborated with like a producer and like another songwriter and stuff, we wrote Daphne Blue, which is like one of our, it's like our song we always close the set with now. And like, it was our first ever like co-write with these same guys pretty much. So it was them. And then this guy, Jeff Warburton, is an insane writer and just like a great hang. So we kind of have our boys, our go-tos that we just like collab with and like make music with. So
Yeah, I feel like there's a you know, you might disagree with me, but I feel like they are the honorary Band Camino members. They're always around.
Yeah, they're definitely
heavy influence.
Yes,
heavy influence
they're on the Band Camino,
the direction.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
the honor.
Well, I was gonna ask. I mean, you started out in Memphis. What was that transition like going to Nashville, which seems such an insanely collaborative musical place? Like, what was that like getting integrated in that community?
Well, a lot different than Memphis. Memphis is like, I always say, like, it's like, I love being from Memphis. I love Memphis. I've Memphis tattooed on my arm right here. It's like, well, I think me and Spencer Garrison were actually born in Memphis too, but then he moved away when he was like, what, 5 months old or something?
I was 3 years old. Then my parents, we moved to Arkansas for my dad's job. So,
but your dad went to Memphis, didn't he? Mm-hmm.
I was born there. So
it counts. The soul was
in full blooded Memphis.
Yeah, exactly.
Memphis is I'd say it's like so talented as far as like musicianship and like playing live. It taught us a lot about just like some of the coldest musicians I've ever met in my life are all from Memphis. And like growing up around that, just hearing these insane players and gospel musicians and blues musicians. And like in college, it was very like, whoa, everyone is better than me. And that kind of thing. It just made us like, you can't really fake like the live show and stuff like that. So it kind of, it helped us become students of our instruments more, because I was always just like wanted to be a songwriter and write songs. And then I kind of got to college and was like, whoa, I need to practice guitar. So like, I don't know. And then Nashville moving here, it's more of a collaborative scene as far as artistry. I think Memphis is more like independent when it comes to artistry and more collaborative when it comes to like musicianship. Mm-hmm. And here it's almost the opposite of like more collaborative with like your songwriting and like just get into sessions with whoever and just making music. And it's like, it's definitely a different, but still maintains some similar threads, I guess.
Know It All's a new single off your upcoming debut LP. How much of this was put together during the pandemic or pre-pandemic? Because you guys went down to Texas?
Yeah, El Paso, Texas to record. So the original plan was we were going to do Dan and Shay, and then in the fall we were supposed to go out with Five Seconds of Summer. So obviously none of that ended up happening other than three shows with Dan and Shay. But so we kind of changed our plans because we weren't planning on doing the record until this summer originally. So we had a lot of songs written before the pandemic, pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, we really kind of, since we didn't have anything else to do, we set a date when we were going to go down to, it's in the city right out of El Paso. It's called Tornillo. It's a place called Sonic Ranch. So we like set a date that we were going to go, and we were going to go for a month with our producer and like just crush it and like do it all in a month. So we wrote a lot like in preparation for that. So we're just trying to beat songs, make new, cool, good story songs. This one, Know It All specifically, we wrote pre-pandemic. We wrote it like, what was it, in January? Was that January?
No, we wrote this at the beach.
Yeah, or when was
it? It was
May of 2019?
2020. No, this was like mid-pandemic. Mid-pandemic. We were supposed to go to Colorado on this writing trip.
That's what I'm thinking of.
And we were going to like go down and like have kind of like a, I don't know if we, maybe it was April. We were going to go ski and snowboard, and like it always kind of helps to get away and like, I don't know, stay somewhere for a few days, and it helps like, it just helps switch up your brain juices and stuff. But so with the pandemic and stuff, we just ended up getting a house so we can kind of like keep it to our own crew that we've been with. We wrote anything else that we wrote? Everybody Dies, which is a track on this record, I guess. But I guess the track listing is now out because you can order the record. So the track listing's out. Yeah, we wrote a song called Everybody Dies that same week. That was like April and May.
Get It Your Ways on there.
Oh yeah, Get It Your Way. Yeah, we wrote.
There was a lot of that we got done during the pandemic.
Yeah, and I'd say like, as far as like the how the record got written, it once we kind of booked those studio dates, we went down middle of August and stayed for a month. So it was like August and September. We've been writing songs for so long, being like, oh, this is going to be on the album. This will be on the album. Like, we've been a band for 6 years now, almost working towards this moment of getting to record our first like full length self-titled debut album, like 14 songs. And once we had those dates on the calendar of like, whoa, this is when we're going. So it really put us into like hustle mode, as far as like, there were days when we were writing like two songs a day, three songs a day over the summer, just like writing all, we were writing, like we couldn't stop. But it was a great feeling, because it was like, okay, we have this date to like leave Nashville and go to the studio. It's like, how many songs can we write? How can we like get the best songs? And how can we like, and we kept just like writing more and more songs, and it came down to like a Dropbox. I mean, we had so many songs, but it came down to like a Dropbox of maybe like 40 something songs that were like, we were trying to pick from to narrow down to like 15-ish. Mm-hmm. And so we made a list of all the songs, And it was like, I'll die for this song. I love this song. I like this song. No. And we all went through and went through each song and listened to the demo and talked about it. And we all like put our check mark on the board. Like, I'll die for this.
Yeah.
I died for way too many. I died for like more than we could even put on the record. But that was the hardest part, is like picking out the record. Cause it's like, this record could look so many different ways based on the songs that we wrote beforehand. With, it was like, before we moved to Nashville, it was like, okay, we wrote these songs, we're going to go to the studio and record them. And now it's like, we've kind of learned to turn on this collaborative, creative, just like write a song every day and like put ourselves in as many creative situations as possible. Like Spencer will go write a song with like some friends of his or some other co-writers, or I'll go write a song with her. And then we'll all three go write a song with a different track guy or producer, and just like switch up the scenario every time and just keep flipping over stones and trying to get just as many different kind of angles as possible. Cause you never know, like, this is one example. Right before we left for the studio, when we were sitting down to pick this list of songs, Spencer was like, oh, I have this song I wrote yesterday with Jordan, our producer, and Jeff Warburton, the guy we were talking about earlier. And we had already made like our list and stuff of what we all wanted to be on the record. And he played this demo, and the song was One Last Cigarette. And I'd never even heard that song. And we were like about to pick all the songs. And it was like, oh my God, now we have to pick.
Now there's more.
There's more. Yeah. And that was like the second single. So it's like, it's crazy because that one made the list like the day that
last,
we picked.
Very extremely last second. It's very indicative of me as a person. Yeah. Very procrastinator, last minute. All my best works at the very last second.
It also just goes to show, we've always kind of said, like, you know, the best song wins. And we write so much, like the fact of the matter is we have a surplus of songs.
Yeah,
we could make 2 to 3 more records full lengths if we really wanted to. But like, it's, you know, are we all in on this? Like, is every single song on this record something that we would all put our chips in for? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Each of those songs are special to each of us for different reasons, mm-hmm. but that's why they got chosen.
And a lot of it did come down to, especially for that song, how is it going to come across live? Mm-hmm. Like, how are we going to, how is this going to perform? Is this going to like affect people and hit people the way that we're kind of hoping our first record is going to do, make like a statement.
Yeah.
Since it's a self-titled record, we really want as close to who we are at right now, you know, as humanly possible.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, you said earlier, writing 2 to 3 songs a day. I mean, for someone like me who's never written a song in their life, that sounds like absolute madness to me. I mean, do you find that the best songs come quickly? They just sort of fall out almost fully fleshed out, or is it different every time?
At times, it's different almost every time.
Yeah.
I feel like with One Last Cigarette, I feel like I remember you saying like they wrote it and they were kind of, it was kind of like they were all tired and like.
Yeah, it was like we had all been bailed on, or like they had like a all right, canceled. And like everyone was just kind of not in like a bad mood, but just kind of in like a fuck it, whatever kind of mood. And like, so, and then, yeah, Warburton had a, like just a little acoustic guitar riff. And we were like, I mean, I guess, sure, why not? And Know It All was the same way. Like we didn't even finish writing that song until we were in the studio recording it. Like we recorded we pretty much had the instrumentation, but we were like still not super sold on all of the lyrics. So we spent like multiple days rewriting Know It All a couple times.
Yeah. Cause like we kind of all had like our 10 that we were like, we'll die for it. Like these are it. And then like the last like 4 or 5 was like, oh, this could be like a bunch of different combinations. And so we kind of got down to the studio and we're like, let's just start tracking the ones we know. We have this list of like 8 that we want to pick like 4 or 5 from. And we're going to feel out how it's going in the room. And like, so that Know It All was kind of one of those ones that was like, okay, we like the song, but we want to like tweak it. Like, I feel like it needs changes. It needs like the demo is a lot different than the final cut. And it was cool because we got down there and we were just feeling the creativity. And like,
yeah, there was a really good energy down there.
Riding a wave of like, man, we're making our album. And like all the ideas that were coming out were like, they just felt like it felt right. It felt like they were there to stay.
Yeah, but to speak here, what you're saying, a lot of them ended up, they just came out. A lot of them were like 2-3 hour writes, which is pretty quick. Mm-hmm. for a write. But you know, once you like get on a good idea and you're like have a good energy in the room and everyone's kind of vibing, so a lot of the time they will just kind of fall out and everyone like they'll stand the test of time.
Yeah,
so it's both, it goes both ways.
And I won't say writing 2-3 songs a day is something I hardly ever do. It was like, there was like a 2-week period right there before the end of the kind of the cutoff period of like, okay, we need to start picking songs and like pre-proing songs and figuring out the way we're going to track it for the 2 weeks kind of before we leave. So like we kind of need to cut off and at least make a pretty final list of what we're going to do in El Paso. So it was like right before that cutoff period, I feel like we were just grinding.
Yeah. We were putting in some work,
but it was so fun.
It was fun. Looking back on it, it's probably the best part. Cause you're just like,
cause I
don't know how, I don't know when we'll be able to do that again or like go spend a month at a recording studio or even be able to book a month at a recording studio continuously.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the fact that everything sort of stopped or at least slowed down in the last year, was that a blessing or a curse? Did that make it so that you found yourself almost second guessing like every single part, like the bass part, the drum part, the guitar part, and really like, because you had so much time to really go deep on every element of it? Or was it more of a positive for you? Was it really give you a chance to really polish it and make it exactly how you wanted it?
Probably a little of both, but I'd say like, as far as just the studio vibe, like a month sounds like a long time, but we really like the way we tracked it. We just started off and we would try to finish a song a day just to track like the instrumentation from the top. So like the first 2 weeks was just like a song a day, just getting the basic instrumentation down. And then the second 2 weeks was like going back through and finishing and putting vocals and putting like finals. So it was really, we kind of had like 2 days per song, which really isn't like that much time to like make a full song like the way that you want to put it out into the world. So like it still wasn't even that much time. I felt like we were like burning the candle the whole time we were there, just like, and kind of just moving with it and trying to trust our first instincts instead of being like, oh, let's do this bass part 89 times. It was like, oh, that was sick. What you played the first time, that was it. Like,
yeah,
let's leave it, like,
for sure. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's kind of nice to have a producer that we trust as well, George Schmidt.
Yeah.
Like when he says he's really good at finishing project, like he's really good at saying like, let's stop here. Like that was great. I don't think we're going to beat that. We can try this 100 more times, but I don't think it's going to be the same. So that was it was good to have him there as well. Certainly. for that purpose.
And I feel like the whole year, I mean, like Jeff was saying, it's a little bit of both, because when we scheduled the studio dates, like a switch was flipped and everybody was just like, eye on the prize. We're going there. We're doing that. Like, I don't know if when we picked a studio date, I second guessed anything until maybe the last week of this of the studio time, where I was like, is that okay? Like, is that cool? Because as soon as we got there, it was just balls to the wall. Yeah. Everybody's just
running and gunning,
ready to go. So like Jeff was saying, it is a little bit of both, but we were all ready. Like we had been in quarantine for 4 months,
and we had done pre-production and stuff like that to try to get it all as dialed before we went. Like, obviously we wanted to leave some space for, you know, for creation and stuff as well. But like we had made a lot of decisions before we even we'd even gone. So that was helpful as well.
I love how the guitar is just front and center, especially on a track like One Last Cigarette. And I read, this is total guitar nerdery. There's a sim, a Helix sim that you have that makes an electric guitar sound acoustic. I've never even heard of that. Can you tell me more about that? It sounds awesome.
Yeah, did you see our the One Last Cigarette live?
Yes, I did.
On Jimmy Kimmel, yeah. And I'm playing the telly, and it sounds like the acoustic, and it's crazy. It's a Helix patch, and they just came out with a bunch of acoustic sims, and like a lot of them are, I think, made for like running an acoustic through, but if you run an electric through it, it sounds like, we kind of had to tweak it a little bit, but like we got it pretty close. And like that guitar on Kimmel is the electric, and it's, and like people were commenting like, oh, this sounds like an acoustic, and he's playing electric. This must be all tracks. And like, yeah, there are backing tracks that we're playing along to that are giving it beef, but like synths and like underlying stuff. But like that guitar is live, and it's crazy that they can do that and make that sound like an acoustic.
Technology is nuts.
Yeah,
that is nuts.
I don't know how it works, man, but it works.
It works.
This guy's guy, I know in an interview you gave, you were talking about how your producer, Jordan Schmidt, he encourages you to go towards more unusual sounds. I wanted to ask you more about that. Like, I'm thinking of like his like being your George Martin figure in a lot of ways. And like,
yeah, well, I think all of our natural dispositions is try to find a really unique kind of thing. And Jeff is really like super into synths and loves like that sort of thing and pedals and all this different. I mean, we all are. So we're all just looking for something that's going to make it. And we just like to play when it comes down to it, especially when you go to a place that has like new toys that you've never played with. Like we got to play with a whole bunch of new stuff that we had never.
Every synthesizer you've ever.
Yeah. And I had like just got this synth called the OP1, which is like this little, it's basically like a toy. And we brought it down there, and that was pretty prominent thing on the throughout the record. So he knows how to get the main sounds. Like he's a whiz at making drums sound good. It also helps that we have a really insanely good drummer. And he also played bass on the record. I don't know if you said that yet, but so, bass. You know, it's nice to have a good basic sound, and then, you know, but it's like, not anybody can do that, but to put the little spice on top and to really figure out what, you know, nobody else is going to do or say.
Yeah, I feel like too with Jordan, we have gotten really comfortable with him too. I mean, not comfortable in a bad way, but comfortable as in the fact that he was the first person we ever co-wrote with, and like we let him like run the track. And so like we just like have built this trust relationship with him. And like, it's like when you have a producer, like your sound is in their hands, like they're pressing the buttons. They are obviously, you're putting out all the ideas and playing the parts and stuff, but the way that it's sonically coming together is like, he's touching the buttons, and like, there has to be trust on both ways that, you know, I think that's just grown over the past, what, 3 years?
Yeah, 3 years.
Yeah. 2018. And like, he's been producing us since Daphne Blue, I guess, was the first thing we put out with him. And like, we just have this level of trust where I think he's having a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. He grew up doing like pop punk bands and rock bands and like a scene guy, and then eventually moved to Nashville and got into more pop and country. And like, I think he's having a lot of fun with us, like getting more experimental, because he's making a lot of like amazing like country music and like pop music that's like pretty down the middle, not in like a bad way at all, but just like less experimental, I think, than he can get with us. Not that we're like super weird and stuff, but we do try to, like Spencer said, try to find weirder sounds and ways to make stuff sound a little different while still like being digestible. And I think Jordan has a good filter of like, what's too far? Oh, we need to make this weirder. We need to make this less weird. Like,
I love that stuff. I love the old analog synths, like Mellotrons and Stylophones and stuff like that.
We use that. The Prophet 6.
Prophet 6. Juno,
we had a couple different Junos.
Yeah. Prophet 6 was like probably the, he bought one after.
Yeah, I went home and bought one.
So we used it.
We had to have it. So
it's insane. So we used that. And then the OP1, like he was saying, like really changed the whole dynamic, like of a lot of layers on a lot of songs, because it's, you can sample things in the room and like it just make like spit out little beats and percussive grooves and synth lines and arps and like
just changes the thought process of things more than anything. Certainly. I think it just does a lot, and you're like, what if you did this with, I don't know, it puts you through some different neural pathways, and it's really nice. Kind of makes it fun to do music again.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, speaking of throwback analog technology that I love, you guys recently released a record for Record Store Day, 4 songs by your buds in the band Camino. I'm a huge vinyl nerd. I mean, Record Store Day for me is like practically a holiday. Are you guys big crate divers? Like, do you go to record stores a lot and find any gems lately if you do?
Dude, not as much as I should, man. I have some old records, like some Huey Lewis and some random things. Like, I don't have a record player right now. I used to have like kind of a shitty one, but like...
I used to when we were back in Memphis a little bit, but no. not so much since we've been in town, which I feel like they would have some really like sick, like vintage stuff.
Probably so.
You could probably find some stuff pretty easy out here, but
yeah, it's not that I don't want to do that. It's that I don't do that. So like, I definitely would if I tried, but
I'm sure we'll all become collectors eventually. Mm-hmm, as we've been putting out our music, it's, you know, we're kind of creating our own collection for ourselves, or at least giving ourselves a starting point. But
the Record Store Day thing was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool to be a part of that.
Seeing our records in actual record stores was really cool.
Are there any musical influences that really tie the three of you guys together? Like any all shared people that you all listen to when you're first starting out?
There's like a lot. It's probably like a lot of the stuff you would expect, but like I think bands, like a lot of bands, like I feel like ties together, like Coldplay, The Killers, Kings of Leon, and then like John Mayer,
just like the classic incredible bands that nobody will ever be able to replicate. That's what
we so The Eagles was a big one too.
Yeah. We all kind of came from different backgrounds and different approaches to music, which I think helps us kind of cover a lot of bases, and it gives our sound kind of like, I don't know. It's definitely very three-sided because we all kind of look at it a different way. I feel like I always approach music. Like I have videos of me as a little kid, like singing songs before I could play like an instrument with them. I'm just like singing song, looking at a notebook and like singing a song to my dad. Like I couldn't play an instrument, but I was like, I want to write songs. And Spencer, like, I feel like comes from like a, how does it make you feel? How does this groove and like beat make you feel? I don't know. You like
kind of like more, not like a not zoomed out, but more of like a less specific, I don't know. Well, yeah, just the way that it feels.
He's like the vibe. We call him the vibe raider because he rates the vibes. Like he's the vibe curator. I feel like I've always said that Spence like he has like the coolest taste out of all of us. He shows me the most music that's like, hey, like listen to this song. Like, hey, listen to this song. Oh, you should listen to this band. And I'm like, whoa, how have I never heard of this band?
I feel like Spencer is very much the quality control of the group because, you know, like we're all throwing shit at the wall. And if we throw something down and we look at Spencer and he's like, it's not it, chief. It's not it.
So. It's not it, dude. You gotta make something that Spencer thinks is cool. And then it's cool.
And then it's cool.
I'm nicer about it than I think I was originally. So that's good. That's okay.
You gotta have the no guy.
And then Garrison's just the player. Like he's the one that can do anything.
He approaches it from the technical, like he plays like every instrument and like.
He has the parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we kind of have like.
It's all around.
The bass is covered.
Yeah, and then we all kind of grew up listening to different stuff too, like just like Garrison, what, like Rush? And
no, not Rush.
You were like a jazz guy, weren't you, Garrison?
Yeah, so Rush. I grew up, yeah, I don't have a problem with Rush. I just want to make it clear I didn't grow
That's
up.
That's not like your, Rush. Yeah.
If there was one like classic band that you're always like.
Yeah, Journey is the Journey, classic band.
Yeah, that's way different than Rush.
Yeah, way different, significantly different. I'll get into that later. But no, so I grew up, my dad is a guitar player. He's played since he was like 10 years old. He's 54 right now. Shredder.
His dad shreds.
He shreds. Terry B for the win. He's on the record, by the way. He did play some guitar in one of the demos we did.
That's awesome.
And I noticed it when we were listening down to our masters. I was like, that's my dad. Guys, that's my dad.
Like we never noticed that.
We never noticed it.
It made it into the track like super quiet.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. I grew up playing jazz music. I mean, it all started at a very young age. I started playing piano. I played that for 4 years. And in Bentonville, where I'm from, if you were going to be a middle school like percussionist, you had to have 2 years of private piano instruction because they wanted to weed out, you know, the kids that were just going to go and dick around. And so I stuck it out for 4 years. And then on my 10th birthday, I ran upstairs and there was my drum kit that I'd been waiting for forever. And so I've been playing ever since. And my dad was very much that like driving force of like, hey, here's some weird instrumental guitar music that I love to listen to. Like you should learn that. And all the drum parts are crazy in that stuff. Like Steve Vai, you know, even like Eric Clapton, you know, his drummer is so tasteful and, you know, it's not all about shreds, but it's really cool to get both perspectives of, okay, how do I swing and also shred, you know, like how do we make all these things happen? And so that's how I grew up. A lot of church music too. I grew up in church and did a lot of CCM stuff. But that was kind of my upbringing, was just an eclectic group of things that made me want to keep playing drums.
We all have that collective ex-worship pastor swag going on. So mm-hmm. we all share that.
Tattoos to show, you know, we have a past.
We're interesting and quirky. Please like us.
Are there any other favorite tracks on the record that aren't out as singles that you can tell us about? Any ones that are just standouts to you that are really just like keep an ear out for when the record's out?
Yeah, there's one called Underneath My Skin, which is really fun. It's kind of like a mid-2000s throwback. It's mm-hmm. very much like a
Third Eye Blind,
like a Third Eye Blind kind of thing. Yes. It's cool.
Yeah.
And then we've got some like pop stuff. There's one called Who Do You Think You Are that's really sick, that we're like kind of, it's like on the John Bellion type side. So it's kind of all
it's
over the place.
Weird.
And then we've got like this one called I Think I Like You, just like a disc 70s disco throwback.
It's really like,
and then we've got some really heartfelt stuff. And
it's pretty like eclectic.
Acoustic stuff.
It's all there. But it's anything you want pop is on the record.
Exactly.
There's something for everyone. And I think a lot of people are like, what kind of music is it? And we're like, it's like,
I don't know.
Like band. It's band.
Band music. Yeah.
Like you said, like live instruments. And I don't think a lot of people are like, I mean, yeah, everyone's still playing instruments, but as far as how records are sounding, it's like you can make a record in a bedroom on a laptop now, but we went to like a real studio and recorded real drums in a big room and guitars through like vintage amps and like that kind of stuff, because there's something cool to that. And like,
you can tell a difference regardless of what people say. You can tell a difference.
Yeah,
you know,
it is different. It's just like a different energy. It really is.
The record sounds just like live. It sounds like you know, some dudes playing instruments.
Modern but classic.
It's band music.
Yeah,
it's
band.
Speaking of some guys playing instruments live, in the fall, you're going out on the road, finally. I mean, not only are you going on the road, you're going out with Dan and Shay on the arena tour. How does that feel?
Let's go.
Oh, crazy.
How it feels.
It's an insane opportunity. We're like, I mean, the fact that we were able we were going to do it last year, and it kind of like got not taken away from us, but everyone had a hard year last year. Let's be honest, unless you're like Jeff Bezos or something. But.
Yeah,
it was just, you know, we don't have much to complain about, but we're really lucky that we got the opportunity to get back out there again, and we get to go on more shows this time. So it's,
yeah, the last time it was going to only be half, but this time we get to do the Madison Square Garden and Staples Center and like all the shows we weren't going to do.
United Center.
Now we get to do them. So honestly, kind of a blessing in disguise.
In that way, it definitely was.
Very awesome.
But we didn't know for a long time, and we didn't know if we were even going to be playing in the fall. And people were starting to say it's not going to be until fall of next year that people are going to go out. And so it was scary there for a minute. And just like how up in the air it was a little disconcerting. But
it's also weird that we've just been at home for like over a year, and then in like 2 months we're gonna play to like 15,000 people a night. It's gonna be really weird. I haven't seen like over like 20 people at a time since like
in a year
until like a week ago when like shit started opening back up. But like I haven't been around more than like 10 people, you know, like at all. And we're gonna walk into an arena like that's filled. This is gonna be like it's gonna be a crazy feeling.
It's gonna be insane.
We're definitely ready.
You got Bonnaroo too, right?
Yeah. Basically the hometown.
Yeah, that's like the second or third show back. We have a couple little festivals doing some like random stuff. I think we're doing one that's not announced yet still before that, possibly, maybe. And then we're doing a festival in Columbus, and those are kind of all like, they'll be cool. But Bonnaroo is like the first like really big. It's like 45 minutes from Nashville, kind of like it's a hometown. A lot of people that we know and friends and like Nashville music industry peers and friends will be out there. It's gonna be crazy.
Gonna camp out?
Well,
we leave like 3 days later to start the Dan and Shay tour, so we might go a day early and camp because we'll have the bus, which is like pretty insane. Like
from a glamp side,
we've gone the past 2 years since we've lived here. Like I guess 2019 was the last Bonnaroo, but we camped out the whole time. Did like the whole thing. So
shout out Calliope tent until 7 in the morning.
Yeah, we had a time, and like, so it's going to be cool going back and playing after just like having, it's like it was one of the best weekends of my life being there and camping out.
Yeah, it's just a great experience to be there in general. So the fact that we actually get to play, and it's like we've got a cool spot, and
yeah,
it's going to be sick, man. It's going to be sick. I hope lots of people lose their minds.
Yeah,
I'm sure they will.
And also, I love that it's in September because it might be a little cooler. Usually, so like I feel like Labor Day weekend is like the perfect weekend for Bonnaroo because people aren't going to work on Monday after Bonnaroo, like unless you're an Iron Man. I don't really, or you just hydrated all weekend. But
congratulations on getting back out there on the album. It has been so awesome talking to you, Ben Camino. Thank you so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jordan.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Thanks for having us, man.
It's been a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio or other fantastic shows, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hills and Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.